You are lost in the stars. Hello and welcome back to Lost in the Stacks. This is our monthly adjunct podcast to the Labyrinth Library podcast, where we talk about things that are, say, bigger than just one book. Maybe many books, maybe reading in general, but this month we are going to talk about writing. It is the end of November, and as you may know, November is National Novel Writing Month, also known as NaNoWriMo. What is NaNoWriMo, if you don't know? It is a plan where you write 50,000 words of your book in 30 days. That's the idea. Now, it sounds very daunting, and it is kind of, and we'll talk a bit more about that. Basically means you have to write 1,667 words every day if you want to hit your target. Now, the way this happened is a bunch of friends about 15 years ago, I think in California, if I remember correctly, noticed that they were always talking about how they're going to write a book someday. And they always said that. And I've said that before, and maybe you've said that. Yeah, someday I'm going to write a book, man. Someday I'm really going to buckle down and write that book I had in mind. Well, here's the problem. Someday never comes. You know, it's always jam tomorrow. Someday never shows up. So the idea is to start writing today. And they started it about a decade ago, and it has just exploded in popularity. So every November, all of your creative and writing type friends will get in on National Novel Writing Month. This year, I joined up as well. It's been a while since I joined. Last time, I think, was 2003. So I'm in again, and mainly because I've been doing this writing project for the last 6 months, the yearofstories.wordpress.com, and so I've had sort of a running start. And what I decided to do for this, because I didn't want to break up what I was already doing, is I decided to do an anthology of about 30 short stories. And I came up with an overarching theme and sort of mini themes for each week and so on, but we'll get into that. Point is, I slammed through that 50,000 word mark about a week ago, and right now I'm over 60,000. So rock on. So this is kind of what we're going to talk about today is kind of what I learned from doing National Novel Writing Month that maybe I can pass on to you if you're interested in writing. And the first of these things, of course, is that November doesn't have to be National Novel Writing Month. If you didn't get to do it this month, if you missed out on it, maybe you didn't hear about it until the middle of the month, don't worry. There's really no reason why you can't make December your National Novel Writing Month, or April, or if you're not feeling too confident, hey, go for February. It's nice and short. One of the reasons why people all join in November is because there is a website, there is a whole community, they've got forums, you can chat with people and support each other, and you can procrastinate together. Many cities have their own little regional meetups where you can actually physically meet with people, and you go to a Starbucks or something and write and do become sort of like a little temporary writing group. And for a lot of people, that social connection is very important, and it helps keep them motivated. I am sort of a factory model introvert, so social occasions tend to drain me of my energy, which means that I don't really get in on that. The only time I go to the NaNoWriMo homepage is to update my word count and see that little graph go up. But if you're like me, you can make a thing on Excel. It'll make graphs for you. And if that's the motivation you need, then really any time can be National Novel Writing Month. So if you didn't make it in November, don't worry. Don't despair. You can do it anytime you want to. So what did I learn? Well, the first thing I learned, and again, this is also part of the overall Year of Stories project, is that writing is work. You imagine, you know, the writer waking up late in the morning, coming in his pajamas, and just ideas and brilliance stream forth into the typewriter or the pen or the computer. And unless I am the one ridiculous exception, that is not true. Writing is work. It is hard work. It is something that you need to think about a lot. It is actually more difficult if you try to sit down and write cold than if you work on it all day. So yeah, some writers may be able to do that and sit down and just churn out 2,000 words every day without a lot of work, but I think they are few and far between. And you know, some days will be easy. Some days you will sit down and those words will pour out, and you will get to the end of your piece or the end of your chapter or the end of your pages, and you will look back on it. You say, wow, that was really good. And you'll be very happy with it. And then the next day will come and it will just be it'll be poo. You'll have a big pile of poo on your page, and that's all you've got. And that's what you worked hard. You worked hard 5 hours sitting in front of your computer, pounding at things, checking your thesaurus, making little mind maps to figure out where your plot is going. And all you have at the end of the day is a pile of poo. Well, that's what you've got. But you have to keep going. You have to keep writing anyway. Because the nice thing is you can always go back and change it. If your pile of poo doesn't work, you can come back at some point and clean it up and freshen the air a little bit. And hopefully none of the readers of the final project will ever know it was there. One of the things that's maybe different what I'm doing from a lot of other Nano participants is that I am posting stuff every day on the blog. So if I do have a pile of poo, it's right there on the internet. Everybody can see it. But fortunately, everyone's been far too polite to tell me where the poo is. All right, no more poo jokes. Yeah, so not all of your ideas will work. Some of your ideas will fall flat. Your muse will probably be off busy doing other things, whatever it is muses do. Your muse will not come to you on command. But sometimes, like that favorite uncle that your parents don't really approve of, your muse will show up and bring something really cool and hand it to you. And those are great. So if that happens, you love those moments, you cherish those moments, and you say, thank you, muse, for that one. And it was great, but it's really, really fun. Over time, you get to know who your characters are. And again, some of your characters will appear in your head fully formed and ready to go. I have a couple of brothers from one story, which just popped right into my head. They were already bickering. I hardly had to do anything. Other characters you have to discover as you go. You learn things. A little piece comes into place here, a little piece comes into place there. That's part of the work. But fortunately, also part of the fun. Let's see, what else did I learn? One thing that is fun, and that I've really enjoyed, is the world-building aspect of writing. When you are a writer, you create a world. Now, if you are writing something pretty realistic, then you don't have much of a world to create. The world has been made for you. You may have to research. If your character goes to New York City to spend a day shopping, you may have to research shopping in New York City and figure out where your character's going to go and where they're going to shop and where they're going to avoid. And that's great. However, if you have something else, you may have to create stuff, whip things up out of whole cloth. And for me, that's been a lot of fun. For example, one of the first things that I made, invented, was an evil corporation, because I tend to fall on the side of corporations bend towards evil. I know they're helpful and they've made the modern economy, blah, 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 blah. But the evil corporation is one of my favorite types of villain, so I made one called Cerbicorp. And I picked it because it kind of sounded kind of threatening and nasty. I had no idea what they did when I first made the name. Cerbicorp, why not? And it became my go-to evil corporation for a few stories. And then I started coming up with more. I came up with Barbeau Pharmaceuticals, which is going to precipitate the end of humanity someday. Munin Scientific, Albeth and Halding, which I think is a bank. I've just come up with all these really neat corporations. Most of them are generally bad or disreputable in some way. They tend to hold far more power than they should. Albeth and Halding, for example, forces every single employee to get a tattoo which has nanoparticles in it, which can be used to identify the wearer. These are the things. You know, the CEO, the president of Cerbicorp, is a vegetable. He has been on life support in an impenetrable bunker for the last 5 years. But, you know, he's still alive, technically, so he's still the boss. So you can make these corporations. You can make cities. I've made a bunch of cities, and that's so cool. My first city that I made was a city called Corsair. And I used it for this future teleportation story. It's kind of like an airport story when you go through the scanner and you have to take your belt off and stuff. But this is the future, so it's teleportation gates. And the name popped into my head, Corsair City. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of futuristic. And I kept it. And I've used it a lot. I've used it in a lot of different stories. I also came up with Sylvania City, which actually I came up with the name because I came up with the giant park in the middle first, the Sylvania Hortus. And I needed a good sort of foresty sounding name. So there we go. And you come up with little towns. I got Winter Falls, which is my very own spooky Maine town, because I believe any small town in Maine is home to monsters. And this one definitely is. It is the seat of unspeakable Lovecraftian evil. And Ravensbrück, Illinois, which for some reason, that's where a whole bunch of my superpowered characters come from. And because I'm a comic book fan, I do have lots of superheroes. I've got, you know, people who can fly, people who can walk through walls, people who can do all sorts of good stuff. And it's great fun. Lots of metahumans. I made a Department of National Security, which is my big shadowy government organization. So when you're building worlds, anything that comes into your head is fair game. Anything that you have always wanted to see in a book, now is your chance. Put it in there. See if it works. Maybe it won't. Maybe you'll have to take it out later. But if you've always wanted a shadowy secret government organization that works behind the scenes as is completely unethical, put it in. Go for it. No one's going to stop you. So what it came out, and I just finished actually making sort of a chart of my four worlds, I made four different worlds. One of them I call Earth Prime, and that's where most of my stories happen. I have a high fantasy world, an urban fantasy world, and then the sort of space setting, which includes the end of the universe, which could apply to all of them. And there's a few sort of unplaced stories, miscellaneous stories that I haven't found a home for yet. It is a great creative outlet, this National Novel Writing Month thing. There are downsides, of course. It does take a lot of time. It takes a lot of mental energy. If you are spending your day trying to figure out who your characters are and where your story's going, you need time to do that. If it's your lunch hour, or if it's between projects, or if you have to, you know, sit in the bathroom with a notebook for 15 minutes and figure stuff out, you know, well, that's what you have to do. It does take a lot of mental energy to do it. And this is not good for the Labyrinth Library podcast, I haven't read a book this month. I've been so just wrapped up in writing. I've got books sitting around everywhere that I haven't touched. And I haven't written reviews all month. And I'm glad I've got a lot of them backed up I can use. But still, I don't want this to sort of impinge on the other podcast. But man, it does take up a lot of time. But on balance, it's good. This is what I would recommend if you are going to write, if you're going to write anything. The standard advice that all writers give is absolutely correct, which is writers, write. Write all the time. Write every day. Write something. Even if it's a 500-word flash fiction, write something. And it sounds really simple and really stupid. You know, everyone wants the magic formula for how to write a novel. Well, write. There you go. The hard part comes with revision and selling and all that stuff. But if you want to just get your ideas out there, write them. I recommend having a plan. What I did is I made a little chart every day. I had November blocked out into five blocks for the five classical elements, earth, wind, fire, water, and ether. Every day I just came up with an idea and I popped one in. I put a little chart with some spare ideas on the side in case any of them struck my fancy. And that was it. So I knew every day I had a vague idea what I was going to try to write about. And that's what you can do too. Even if you're writing a novel, if you can basically block it out and say, by the end of week one, I need to be here. By the end of week two, I need to be here. You can use the Hollywood formula, which you can look up online, which is excellent. It gives you basically a percent, by percent of your word count, what should be happening. So by 10%, this should be happening. By 50%, this should be happening. Have goals to reach for. Know where you're going. Otherwise, you just flail around and fall down and quit, which is what happened to me a bunch of times. Use whatever you have to. Use process graphs. Use number countings, whatnot. You just need to know where you're going. When it is time to write, write something. My writing time tends to be in the evening, like between 8 and 10 o'clock. Write something. Even if, again, it's that aforementioned poo on the page, go ahead, do it, you know, because you have to do something. Otherwise, if you give up one night and you say, well, maybe tonight I just won't write, it becomes easier to not write the next night and then not write the next night after that, and then you're done. So you write something. Otherwise, that's called quitting. And I don't want to sound too harsh about, you know, quitting. But there are legitimate reasons to quit, and I certainly understand that. But if you're going to quit, you should quit for a reason, because your health or your family's health, or you have work to do, or you have other important priorities. You shouldn't quit because it's too hard. That's all I'm saying. If you have an idea, save it, write it down, keep it. Even if it's a ridiculous idea, it may become useful at some point. Follow Raymond Chandler's law. If you're stuck in a plot, have someone come in with a gun. I've done that a couple times, and it kind of works. It shakes things up, which is nice. And along with that, don't be afraid to kill your characters. You know, killing people's great. Killing people's good fun. Someone's going to take that completely out of context, and I'm going to get a call from the police any minute now. If you don't know what to write about, think about history. Think about your characters and the setting and who they are and where they are. Interview your characters. Find out what they want. You don't even have to use any of it in the book, but try to get into their heads. Use your own in-jokes and your favorite phrases that you like to use. Put them in there. Say your dialogue out loud, maybe in the shower. Go into ridiculous detail. Describe everything in the room. Describe all their clothes. Describe everything in minute and perfect precision. And you can always cut later. Whew. You may be able to tell I did get kind of excited by this project. I had a really good time writing. And, you know, when we talk about books and when I review a book and read a book, it's hard to imagine that this is the process that goes on. This is all the stuff that had to happen before that final product could come out, before you could go to Amazon or your favorite local bookstore and pick up that book. This happened. Your favorite author did all the same stuff. They wrote stuff. They looked at it and they said, oh, this is crap. I hate it. Or this is brilliant. I love it. They cut things out that they really, really wanted to keep in, but they couldn't because it didn't fit the story. This is what writing is. And if you do that, if you know that every single author that you have written has gone through the same process, it does make it feel a bit more achievable for you as a writer yourself. You know, the ones who've been writing for years and years and years probably have it much more streamlined than you will. But I guarantee they did the same thing. So if you are a writer at heart, if you want to write, if you need to write, then do it, you know, and have fun doing it. You know, if it's not fun, change your story. Go do something else. But if you want to write, write. And you don't have to just write in November. All right. I think that's about it. That's all I can really come up with on National Novel Writing Month and still keep this under the time limit. I think I'm already going over the time limit. So I'm going to let you go now. And I recommend that if you didn't make National Novel Writing Month in November, go ahead. Make it in December. You can come over to the blog. You can come over to Facebook and share what you're doing as well. If you're worried about criticism, by the way, here's something I've noticed, and I'm not trying to lay anything on y'all, but over on the yearofstories.wordpress.com, I received very little negative feedback from people. I received some positive feedback, certainly not as much as I would like. I love to have people come over there and just lavish me with praise and ask, you know, when can we publish you? And that did not happen, but it may. But I really didn't get people coming over going, wow, this is crap. So if you're worried about people saying, wow, this is crap, maybe you won't have to worry about that unless you have a bunch of really, really bad friends. So thank you all very much for stopping by. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you're a little bit inspired. If you do write something, let me know. Hey, I'll be happy to trade writing stories with you. All right. Stay well. Be well. We'll have another regular podcast coming up on Thursday, Japan time. But until then, I will see you next month for another episode of Lost in the Stacks.
You have been listening to Lost in the Stacks, a monthly adjunct podcast to the Labyrinth Library Book Review Podcast, which can be found at thelablib.org. Leave a comment there, join our discussion on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative License, which means you can feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening, and keep reading.